You're listening to SBS News.
Well, Happy New Year, Australia, for we are one and free. Our anthem is about us, who we are, and who we hope to be as well. We live in a timeless land of ancient First Nations peoples, and we draw together the stories of more than 300 national ancestries and language groups.
The new year was ushered in by the Prime Minister changing a word in our national anthem in an attempt to reflect those more than 300 unique language groups. Just as the wording was changed to "We are one and free," January 26 reminded us that many in Australia think there is still a long way to go in reconciliation with our First Nations people. Rallies marking Invasion Day were held across the country.
We got a lot of people giving, helping out that have never been a part of this community or participated in an Invasion Day event before.
I think it goes to show the opinions and the understanding and the attitudes of the general public is changing.
There was an all-female lineup recognised at the Australian of the Year Awards. The honour for 2021 went to 26-year-old Grace Tame, an advocate for victims of sexual assault.
I remember him saying, "Don't make a sound. Well, hear me now. Using my voice amongst a growing chorus of voices that will not be silenced. Let's make some noise, Australia!"
February saw the first Australian vaccinated against COVID-19, instilling a sense of confidence and hope of an end to the pandemic, which had spanned over a year. ICU nurse Rachel Hogben was among the frontline workers to feel the relief.
"We're now on the offensive. You know, we're no longer acting defensively against this. We're actually on the offensive, and it's an amazing day."
But following reports of side effects of the AstraZeneca vaccine in Europe, a snap press conference was called in early April, only a few weeks in to Australia's vaccine rollout. Chief Medical Officer Paul Kelly told reporters the government had accepted advice from the Australian Technical Advisory Group on Immunisation that only people aged 50 and over should receive AstraZeneca. People under the age of 50 were perceived to be at greater risk of the extremely rare clotting event.
"It's only been found in the first dose of the AstraZeneca vaccine, usually within 4 to 10 days after that vaccine."
Despite its extremely rare frequency, vaccine hesitancy became an issue, particularly among migrant groups. Doctors like Tuan Tran became critical messengers in the community.
"I think there are probably more hesitancy in the ethnic group. I try to explain to them about the significance of vaccination so that we can fight the virus."
Away from the fight against COVID-19, SBS News uncovered allegations of serious crimes, including sexual assault, committed by US military personnel in Australia. Former ADF officer and lawyer Glenn Kolomitz said in his experience, the ADF frequently failed victims of sexual assault within its ranks.
"Right now, I have a lineup of what they called effective administration cases involving sexual assault, military sexual trauma in defence."
Then in July, the Delta variant of COVID-19 forced Greater Sydney and eventually the whole of New South Wales into lockdown. Health authorities' worst nightmares were realised with the virus reaching remote towns like Wilcannia, which has a high Indigenous population. Some of the strictest rules the state had ever endured were enforced by police, assisted by military personnel on the streets of Sydney. The designations of local government areas of concern, particularly around Western Sydney where case numbers spiked, drew criticism from Canterbury-Bankstown Mayor Carl Asfour.
"This virus started in Bondi. There were people having picnics at Bondi Beach over the weekend. There was no police crackdown. And that's the difference. And that's what the community are feeling. They're upset, they're concerned, but they're also don't want to be scared and intimidated."
Anger boiled over in Sydney's CBD, where thousands broke stay-at-home orders to protest. The violent demonstration drew condemnation from all political sides, including the Prime Minister.
"Of course it was selfish. It was also self-defeating. It achieves no purpose. It will not end the lockdown sooner. It will only risk the lockdowns running further."
People also took to the streets in Melbourne after the government shut the construction industry down for a fortnight. Workers turned on their own trade union building and converged upon the city's Shrine of Remembrance, which stoked more fury from its CEO, Dean Lee.
Generations of Australian servicemen and women have put their lives on the line to protect this nation. Any protest here takes away and diminishes the actions of our veterans.
October brought the bombshell announcement from Gladys Berejiklian that she would be resigning as Premier of New South Wales as the state's Independent Commission Against Corruption investigated her affair with disgraced MP Darryl Maguire.
For it pains me to announce that I have no option but to resign from the office of Premier. Resigning at this time is against every instinct in my being and something which I do not want to do. I love my job and I love serving the community, but I have been given no option following the statement that's been issued today.
New Premier Dominic Perrottet wasted no time in reopening the state, followed by Victorian Premier Daniel Andrews. And to round out the year, some much-needed good news out of Western Australia. 4-year-old Cleo Smith was found alive and well by police 18 days after she went missing from a remote campsite near Carnarvon.
We got her. I've got her. What's your name, sweetheart?
My name is Cleo.
The young girl captured the hearts of the nation as much of it emerged from a year dominated once again by COVID-19. Tysock Husey, SBS News.